Are you ready for the word of the Lord this morning? Well, then get even more ready, because he's back. Let's just welcome to the platform the mighty man of God, Jonah Coyne, Pastor Jonah.
Good. Can you guys hear me? Good. What a powerful Sunday already. Isn't it so amazing? I mean, it's so powerful, obviously, dedicating a family to the Lord, but just incredible to hear about what happened during baptism. And it reminds me, has anybody ever heard of the Brownsville Revival? There was a revival in the 1990s. It started actually on Father's Day in 1995. And you can go on YouTube and watch these baptism videos from the Brownsville Revival. And they would baptize people in baptism, and then they would take them out, and usually they would fall back in the baptism, because the presence and the power of God was so strong. And people in those days, they would come out and the Holy Spirit would fill them. They would get delivered of demons and the power of God was present. And so I'm just believing for more of that in our church. Amen? More of the power of God. It's already here. The Lord's doing it, but we just say yes and amen to what the Lord is doing. We're thankful for what the Lord is doing. Amen? Well, I'm excited to be back. My family and I, we were in Johnson City, Tennessee with my brother's family in East Tennessee last week, and so that's why we weren't here. And it was good just to be with our nieces and our family, but we're so excited to be back. And I know Pastor Lynn brought an amazing word last week. How many people were here just impacted from that word last week? And I'm excited to jump back in. I've been talking a lot about the presence of God. I feel like it's just been, you know, week after week, I'm kind of jumping into different things that are on my heart about the presence of God. And I want to jump into it today with this phrase. I went to Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry for 3 years, 2013 to 2016. And when I was at Bethel, they always interview you for a school year. And going into second year, my interview was with one of the worship leaders at Bethel. And I'm not going to say who it was, but it was one of those ones where I'm like getting interviewed by this person and I'm a little starstruck, you know what I mean? Where you're just like, dude, you're a big deal. In my mind, I'm like, you're a big deal. And she looks at me and she was like, so I'm looking at your report and everything, and you're just kind of a shoe-in to go into second year. So she goes, do you have any questions for me? And I was like, I do have a question for you. I said, can you teach me one thing about the secret place and about spending time with the Lord? And this worship leader looks at me and she says, yeah, I'll teach you one secret, and it's this: God is as near as turned affection. Let me say that again. She looks at me and she says, and I'll never forget it, she says, Jonah, God is as near to you as turned affection. He's actually one thought away. His presence is so near, and all it takes for us to experience Jesus is to actually turn our attention and our affection towards him. Amen? Isn't that good? So all we have to do is turn, and so I want to talk about that today. And I want to read, we're going to read all of Psalm 84 this morning. And so I want to jump into this. I'm reading out of the NIV translation. It's going to be up on the screen as well. But this is what Psalm 84 says. It says, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Come on, he's saying, my physical body is even crying out for your presence. It's crying out for you. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Stop right there. So the people who wrote this, it's the sons of Korah. It's not David. The sons of Korah are writing this. How many know that birds are not flying into a church? Have you guys ever read that and gone, it says, even the birds, even the sparrows find a place at your altar. It's not like a bunch of birds just flew into Valley Church and were on the ground. Can you imagine how silly that would be? You were in the church and you see these birds bowing down at the altar. That would be crazy. I think a lot of us would probably take notice of that, but that's not what the sons of Korah are saying. They're talking about this reality that wherever, which I've been talking about for the past 2-3 weeks, this reality that wherever God's presence is his dwelling place. So wherever the presence of God is, there is a home, there is a dwelling place where Jesus is present. Therefore, anywhere, anytime can be an altar. Woo! Anywhere, anytime. I'm going to preach today. I already feel it. We always talk about this place being an altar, but really what an altar is and what an altar was in the Old Testament, it's a place where something dies so that the fullness of God in your life can come alive. In order for us to really, really follow Jesus, how many know that the self in us needs to die? The desires of our own life, the desires of our flesh have to die so the fullness of Christ can come alive. Otherwise, if we're left to our own devices, we're going to live however we want to. We're going to try and control our life, and that never goes good for us. But if we live a life on the altar, if we live a life on the altar of God's presence, and we lay our lives down, what's it say in Romans 12? It talks about giving your body, laying down your life as a living sacrifice. Thanks, Alonzo. As a living sacrifice. What's Paul talking about? He's saying, put yourself on the altar and let God become your life. Lay your life down so that the presence of God can meet you and transform you. So he's talking about even the birds understand this reality. Even the birds can find themselves in the presence of God, in the courts of the Lord. So here's, this is verse 4. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on a pilgrimage towards you as they pass through the valley of Baca. Stop right there. That word, valley of Baca, Baca actually means the valley of weeping and the valley of tears. Listen to this. As they pass through the valley of weeping, how many know that Jesus is with you in your mourning and in your grief? That the presence of God actually says he is near to those who have a broken heart. I've got good news for you this morning. If you're here with a broken heart, if you're in a valley of weeping, God is near to you. I said God is near to you. Even in your brokenness, God wants to meet you and give you joy that doesn't make sense in the valley of weeping. And so this is what it says. He says, in the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs, and the autumn rains also cover it with pools. It's the season of dryness, the season of tears. Guess what? God's going to bring springs in the season of dryness that you're experiencing. Where it might feel like a desert, God wants to create a garden. Amen? Verse 7, he says, they go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. And I want you guys to hear this verse specifically today. This is verse 10. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, in your presence. They have this revelation. There's actually nothing greater than this reality of being in the presence of God. Let's just finish this. He says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Amen. Eugene Peterson translates this in the Message translation. He says, your presence is greater than all of the beaches in Greece. That's how Eugene Peterson says it. He says, your presence is better than a vacation on the Greek islands. And Eugene Peterson then goes on to say this, I would rather scrub the floors in God's house than be in the mansions of the wicked. I would rather scrub floors in the presence of God than live some lavish life. I'd rather be a door holder in your presence than be in some lavish, amazing house. I would rather know you in your house. I'm not trying to build something here and follow the American dream. God, what is your dream for my life? And how can I have the fullness of your presence in my life? I want to show you guys a video. It's a funny video. It really does not have a lot to do with my message other than the last part and that it is snowing today and we're entering into Christmas season. But I want you guys to watch this video. Hannah, can you play that?
I'm a classic one.
Classic role, is it? Classic part?
Yeah.
It's a little delayed, but...
No.
You guys will get it.
One of the three wise men?
No.
One of the innkeepers?
No.
Call rejected.
But it's a classic part?
Yeah.
Okay. You tell me then, because...
I'm door holder number three. I'll be holding doors.
That's amazing. Holding doors for who?
Probably Joseph and Mary.
Oh my gosh, were you pleased when they said that?
Yeah. And
what did you do?
And I was like, I'm a door holder. Get in there. Let's go. Yes.
Whoa.
And maybe because there's no room, I'll probably be just there, be like just coming in, and then I'll just slam the door in their face.
Is that your star role?
I'll probably be dressed up as a door.
I don't think you're going to be a door. I think you're going to be a door holder.
No, I'll have to wear like brown.
Really?
Yeah, probably.
Excellent. That's really smart, Milo.
So good. Isn't that boy so cute? So if you didn't catch what he was saying, he gets in the car from, I think, being in school or whatever it was. And obviously they're in England. You can tell by the accent. But his mom asked, so what part did you get for the nativity scene or this nativity play? And he's like, I've got a classic role. Classic one. It's a classic role. And she's like, oh, really? It's a classic role. What is it? And that's my British accent for you. And she's like, it's got to be, if it's for the nativity and you've got a classic role, it's got to be Joseph. It's got to be one of those two. It's got to be, maybe you're the donkey. Maybe you're Jesus. And he's like, no, even more classic than that. And he's like, I'm door holder number three. I'll be holding doors. I'm like, dude, how are you so excited that you're not door holder number one? You're not door holder number two. You're door holder number three. And he is so excited about this role to be holding doors. And this video years ago went viral on social media of this boy. His name's Milo. But it went viral that this boy is so excited. He doesn't have the star role. But in his mind, he believes that he has the star role of being a door holder in a play. And I think what I love so much about that is when we read again Psalm 84, the sons of Korah are saying, I'd rather be a door holder. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than be in the tents of the wicked. And they're celebrating this reality that even if I have the least role in your house, if I'm in your presence, it's enough for me. Even it doesn't matter. I don't have to be at the right hand of the Lord, even if I'm just a door holder, even if I'm scrubbing floors, even if I'm washing dishes, as long as it's with you, I'm happy about that, Lord Jesus. I'm happy about that. And so I've been talking about this reality lately about how the presence of God is everywhere and how the God who is everywhere wants to be somewhere. And I just told you guys this morning that this worship leader told me, Jonah, God is as near as turned affection. That the moment that you turn your gaze to him, you can encounter him. And there's this little book that everyone in our church should read. It's by a man named Brother Lawrence. Anybody have heard of Brother Lawrence? he has this book. He was a monk. He was a Christian monk, lived at a monastery, and he wrote this book called Practicing the Presence of God. Practicing the Presence of God. And Brother Lawrence was not this guy who was just a teacher, a preacher in the monastery. His actual role in the monastery as a monk was to be the dishwasher. That was his job. And this dishwasher wrote a book that is all over the world now for Christians called Practicing the Presence of God. And he didn't learn this by just sitting at the altar. He learned how to practice the presence of God while washing dishes for his brother monks. How crazy is that? Who in here actually likes to wash dishes? You are crazy for that. Like, we all know that that's like the worst thing. Like, if you came over to my house, most days we have a pile of dishes on our counter. And I look at that pile and I'm like, I need a maid so bad. I just need to buy a maid. And Brother Lawrence was that maid. His whole job in this monastery was to wash the dishes every single day. But his heart and his affection for the Lord was so great that while he washed dishes, he encountered Jesus. While he was scrubbing the dishes, and I wanted to say this today, what if the Lord wants to speak to you just as much when you're washing dishes as you are here at this church? What if it's possible? It is possible. What if it's possible for us to encounter God in a private setting just as much in this corporate setting? And I want to dare to say, even more so when you're alone in your house, can you encounter Jesus than in this place? And we're believing for fullness of his presence here, but what about fullness of his presence in your home? For the moms here, how many know that cleaning a poopy diaper can be a holy thing? For all the moms in here, and you're like, that's the most unholy thing ever. Well, how many know? Someone's like, amen. How many know? I want to submit this to you this morning, that through Jesus, through his finished work on the cross, through his death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus has broken down the division wall of what's secular and sacred. Let me say that again. Jesus has actually broken down that dividing wall of what is secular and sacred. And when I say secular, I'm not saying pagan. I'm not saying worldly. I'm talking about the mundane things of life that we attribute to not being godly or not being holy, like cleaning dishes. And Jesus can be with you just as much as you're wiping a baby's butt. He can be with you and encounter you there just as much as he will here. Amen. Are you following me? Amen. But we are so unaware of this reality. But the truth is, Jesus is as near as turned affection. And if the sparrows can find a dwelling place, if the sparrows can find an altar out there, how much more can you find one in your home? When no one else is there cleaning the dishes, doing the normal things in your office at work, Jason Stiba, in your office by the airport, wherever you are, you can encounter God. Oh, and I just have to say it again. You don't just encounter God here, you can encounter him everywhere. You can encounter him on a walk through a trail. You can encounter him by going up to the foothills. You can encounter him in your home. It doesn't matter where you are. He's everywhere and he wants to be with you. His desire is to encounter you. Do you know, because I think some of us, we believe this. I used to believe this, that God wants to encounter you more than you want to encounter him. And God actually loves your presence. Did you know that? God loves to be with you. Me? Yes, you. He loves to be with you. There's no one in this room who is unworthy of an encounter with God. Why? Because you've been purchased with his blood. When the Father looks at you, he sees his son, he sees his daughter, he sees purity, he sees wholeness, he sees righteousness. We see something different. But Bill Johnson says this, I can't afford to have a thought in my mind about me that's not in God's mind about me. I can't afford that reality, because if I actually believed who he says I am, if I actually saw myself 100% loved. Come on. Come on, Valley Church. Do you know that you cannot change God's love for you? Like, you actually can't do enough bad things for him to stop loving you. You're not a better sinner than he is a forgiver. His blood is way more powerful than that. And we're not allowed to do what Adam and Eve did. We're not allowed to redo that thing where we do the wrong thing and then we go and hide. But what's so amazing is even if you hide, the Father comes and looks for you. Adam, where are you? Where did you go? Adam, where are you? Even in your hiding, your hiddenness is not hidden from God. You cannot be too hidden from a God who is all-seeing. Come on, he sees when you stand. He sees when you sit. He knows your thoughts before you ever think them. This God knows you, and he wants to be known by you. Amen. And all we have to do, just try it with me. Try it with me this morning. He's as near as turned affection. I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes. And I want you just to, even now, in your own mind, you can even do this with me. You can whisper the name Jesus. Just put his name on your lips. Just whisper, Jesus. Let the busyness of this week fall away. And I want you to set your attention and your affection on him. Lord, you're here. And you're as near as turned affection. We don't have to beg, because we're a part of your family. We set our attention on you. Come on, raise your hand if you already feel like, oh, I feel a settling. I feel peace. I'm aware of his presence. So many hands all over this room. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence here among us. You can open up your eyes. It's such a good practice for us to always do. And so here, I want to share with you guys today the keys that Brother Lawrence discovered as a dishwasher. And I want to say this too in the beginning. Brother Lawrence had such incredible encounters with God in the kitchen that people from all over would come and watch him do dishes. Like, no, we don't want to watch the football game. We want to watch Brother Lawrence do the dishes after Thanksgiving, because this guy knows the Lord so much. I mean, that's crazy that people would come and watch him be raptured in the Lord's presence by scrubbing a dish. And people wanted to learn from him more than they would come to learn someone at the monastery or in service. They came to learn from Brother Lawrence, and because he had a real relationship with God. I think it's incredible. And this is what Brother Lawrence teaches in his book, but I want to encourage you to all go read it. The number one key that he discovered is this. And you can write this down if you're taking notes. It's not going to be on the screen, but if you're taking notes, write this down. Brother Lawrence discovered that God is present in all things, which we talked about a few weeks ago, that you cannot actually escape God's presence. He's present in the trees. He's present in the air. Even Psalm 139 says, even the darkness is light to you. And we talk about this all the time. Sometimes, I mean, I was talking with someone today, and it's true. Sometimes we'll go into a city, and we'll go like, that city feels so dark. To the Lord, it's light. Because what we'll do this, we're so darkness-focused because we're not Jesus-focused. We can get so caught up in what's demonic and what's not. What if we were just so caught up in who Jesus is that we just begin to shine his light everywhere and realize this reality that even the darkness is light to the Lord? It even says that darkness can't comprehend the light that Jesus has. And we want to get so caught up in what's dark and the deep state and all these different things. I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned with a kingdom that's coming, that's advancing, that's pervading in our culture. Woo! The darkness is even light to the Lord. So he said, Brother Lawrence says, God is present in all things. He teaches that there is no separation between sacred and secular. And I love this. He says, whether peeling potatoes or praying in solitude, each activity is an opportunity to encounter God. Peeling potatoes? You cut your finger. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes. You know, those potato peelers, I've gotten myself so many times with a potato peeler. Anybody else? Or is that just me? It's like, okay, that's going to go inside of your potato dish today. My finger. Shout out to Wendy's, if you know what I'm saying. That's an old lawsuit that they had. Okay. help me, Lord. Whether you are holding doors or scrubbing floors, Jesus wants to be present with you. I used to say this all the time. Whether I'm raising the dead or laying in bed, God's mind has not changed about me. He's not more pleased with me when I'm raising someone from the dead than I am laying in bed. Does that make sense? His pleasure is not more for me doing God activity. His pleasure is always toward me. Therefore, I can always encounter him. Because if it's always about, well, I had a good Christian week, and we check off the box, you know what I'm saying? Joyce Meyer devotional, check. Watched Benny Hinn online, check. And we go down the line, I did my Bible study, I did my thing, I went to church, went to Wednesday night. And we do this, and we start to build this thing, and we go, I'm more holy because I... And therefore, I have like some wages for an encounter with God. I actually got like, I can cash in for an encounter. That's not how that works. Encountering God has nothing to do with your Christian effort. It's not because you're so good. It's because he's so good. It's not based on your righteousness. It's based on his righteousness that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy in our time of need. And so let me say it again to the mothers in here. When you're cleaning a poopy diaper, there's an opportunity for you to have an encounter with God. In the stresses of being a homemaker, in the stresses of doing what you don't really feel like is a fun thing to do, count it all joy. Count it as an opportunity for you to encounter the fullness of God. Amen? Amen. The other thing that Brother Lawrence, this is key number two, that he discovered is this: practicing constant awareness of God. Practicing a constant awareness. He speaks of developing a habit of this, turning our thoughts toward God regularly. No matter what we're doing, this isn't forced, but becomes as natural as breathing. For Brother Lawrence, having constant awareness of the presence of God was as easy as breathing. That's why doing something so menial and simple like washing dishes was holy. And that he could encounter the presence of God in that place. Come on, this is good news. I know it's not, it might not be a flashy type message, but I feel the burden in my heart to teach this because Last week or 2 weeks ago when I taught about the God who is everywhere, wants to be somewhere, and we have to seek him and desire him in this way. But I think what can feel heavy for some people is, especially, I just think of moms, because that's the season that my wife is in. Telling a mom that you want them to spend 2 hours a day in the presence of God for them is the craziest thing in the world. They're like, excuse me? I literally was up like 4 hours last night with my crying baby, and you want me to spend 2 hours a day with God? I can't with you, Pastor Jonah, I can't. And it's like, no. What if you gave the Lord, and this is for everyone in the room, because I know everyone has busy schedules, and Heidi Baker is the extreme of this. When I heard Heidi Baker, she says, the busier I get, the more time I spend with God. And so she said, I heard her say this, she says she spends 5 hours a day with the Lord. And I'm like, Heidi, I don't know how, but one day I'll get there. But what if you actually just started by giving the Lord 15 minutes? What if you started with giving the Lord 15 minutes of your morning, and during the day you practice constant awareness of his presence? And what if we practice what Paul the Apostle preaches and teaches in his letters, which is praying without ceasing? Anybody ever thought how that's possible? Well, Paul, I don't really understand. We scratch our heads. What do I do, pray in tongues under my breath all day? Praying without ceasing is being aware of Jesus. I want to submit that to you today. I believe that prayer without ceasing is having this constant awareness of a God who's indwelling you. It is fixing your eyes. It's fixing your attention. It's fixing your affection on this God who's all around you and dwelling within you. It's powerful. It's powerful when we do this. But we live in a world where I've said this many times, we're so distracted by all of these things that are happening, especially coming out of election week. A lot of us are like, who's on Donald Trump's cabinet? And we're just like scrolling. At least I'm really preaching to myself. I'm like, RFK, good pick. Good pick, Donald, okay? And I'm just like going through all this stuff. I get so preoccupied with what's happening in my culture that I can get so distracted with what really matters in this life. And we have such a busy heart. All of us, we carry, and especially in the West, especially in America, we have so much stress and busyness that we don't even know how to turn our affection towards the Lord, because our mind is always going on about all the tasks that we have to do. Anybody following me, or am I just preaching to myself today? About everything that we have to do. Blah, 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 it's going through. I'm thinking of my wife right now. She literally, we'll have conversations and she'll go like, hey, did you do this and this? And hey, did you ever think about this? I'm like, wait a second, honey. Whoa, any other men in here with me? It's like, your wife, she's like a living database of information. And I am such a simple thinker. I'm like, what was the first thing that you just said? I literally don't even know what you're saying, okay? But we have so much in our minds. And the Lord, in Psalm 46, it says this, be still and know that I'm God. Is it 46? 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. And the way that we truly know the Lord is, in our busyness, can we still our mind enough to actually discover him in the busyness of our life? When you're driving down the road in your car, when you're doing dishes, when you're taking out the trash, you can encounter God. Amen? Point number three that Brother Lawrence discovered is this, that making every task a prayer. It's possible to make every single task in your life a prayer. Brother Lawrence advises doing all work for the love of God, and transforming every mundane action into a spiritual act. Woo! That's good. Transforming every mundane action into a spiritual act. And this is what he says again. Washing dishes or sweeping floors can be an act of worship when done in God's presence. You don't need to be here dancing on the platform only to worship God. You can worship God when you're scrubbing the floors. I'm speaking to all the moms in here, all the grandmas in here. In that thing, when you're putting on the Instant Pot, you can encounter God. Amen? Point number four, I want to read that. This is actually so good. St. Teresa of Avila. Anybody ever heard of her? St. Teresa. She says this, God walks among the pots and pans. He walks among the pots and pans. And I'll just say this even, this is not in my notes, but as a father, I have encountered the Lord more being a dad than in any point in my life. And as a husband too. There's something that happens in that place where you are sacrificially giving of yourself. Anybody know what I'm talking about in here? You don't have to be a parent to discover this. Really, when you get married, I feel like this happens in a huge way of this thing of you're sacrificially giving. Grandmas, grandpas in this room, do you know what I'm talking about? You're sacrificially giving of yourself to the point where life is not about you anymore. It's about the people around you encountering Jesus through you. And it's about experiencing Jesus in the mundane parts of our life. Wait, Jonah, are you telling me that I don't need smoke machines and flashing lights and loud worship music from Bethel to encounter God? That's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that you don't need an atmosphere. You don't need a soaking pad. Come on, somebody. You don't need soaking music to encounter God. You can encounter God when it's snowing outside, fireplace is lit, you're pouring the hot cocoa, and Jesus comes into your home because you've invited him. You've welcomed him in. Point number four, embracing humility and simplicity was a key for Brother Lawrence. God is found in simplicity and humility and in small acts of hidden moments. I've been a part of three churches since being a pastor. The first church I was a part of, we had a mobile church. Anybody ever been a part of a mobile church before? Set up and tear down, bless you. Bless you guys. Camden and Trent, the whole family were there. Mobile church is something else. We would show up at like 7 a.m., put out the chairs, unload everything in trucks. It was crazy. We did church in a school. And I remember our worship pastor, his name's Shane Lance. He's one of my best friends, one of the most amazing people. And Shane would show up before everybody, not only because worship leaders have to show up early, right, Pastor Christy? So he's already showing up early for worship practice and for sound check. He showed up another hour early to set the chairs for everyone in church. And he had a chair team and all that stuff, especially all the young men that want to find a wife. They would show up for that, try to be impressive. Look at how many chairs I can hold up, all the stuff. And but Shane would do this, and he said this to me. He said, Jonah, I loved doing the chairs more than I did leading worship. And he said, especially when it was just me by myself, he would turn on the worship music and he would start stacking chairs and setting up the chairs. And he said, I had the most profound encounters with God serving the church and giving up myself for people. I started to find God in something that is not fun. Is if anyone has set up chairs, it's not really fun. It's not cool. A lot of people in this room, you'd rather have a microphone than set chairs. Okay, you would rather do something like that. But Shane is like, no, more than the microphone, more than leading people in worship, I worship God when no one else was there. And I set the atmosphere, setting up chairs in that room, just me and Jesus. And let me say it again, your hidden moments are not hidden from the Lord. When no one else is watching, and the Holy Spirit spoke this to me years ago, but the person you are when no one else is around is the truest version of yourself. The you that you are, when no one else is around, in the secret place with God, that's the truest version of you. Who everyone else sees, hopefully you're being honest about who you are, but the truest version of yourself is the you when you're in the secret place. Amen? Amen? So Brother Lawrence encourages seeing each task, no matter how menial, as sacred because God is involved in every part of our life. Say every. He's involved in every part of our life. Not just, I know I'm saying it a lot, but I feel like in my religious mind, I always have to hit this in the head. Not just when I come to church. Amen. Not just when I'm reading my Bible. Not just when I'm worshiping. God wants to be involved in my parenting. God wants to be involved in my cleaning. God wants to be involved when I have to go and get my car fixed. Hello, somebody. When I need to go to the DMV and I'm dreading going to the DMV. Or I'm dreading going grocery shopping and I'd rather do a DoorDash order. Or have someone else get my groceries. God wants to be with you in every part of your life. And can I dare to say that even when you're alone in your car going for groceries, you've had a hard day and you're like, oh God, where are you? You know where he is? Knocking on the door of your heart saying, how about you encounter me in your car? Yes, in your car. How about you encounter me when no one else is there? I'm telling you, he wants to meet with you this week for so many people in here. Point number five, and then I'll wrap up. Jared, you can come on up if you're here. I know you are here, but you're somewhere. Where are you, Jared? There he is. Very sneaky, Jared. Very sneaky. All right. Point number five, his last key takeaway that Brother Lawrence discovered to live this life in communion with the Lord, to live and practice the presence of God is this: seeking inner communion over external experience. Seeking inner communion with the Lord over external experience. And this is what he says: true communion with God does not depend on external surroundings or intense emotions, but rather on quiet, consistent love and awareness of his presence. Oh, I love that so much. I'm going to read that again. True communion with God doesn't depend on external surroundings or intense emotions, but rather on quiet, consistent love and awareness of his presence. And I'm just going to say this. I think in the church in the West, we have done a disservice to people, especially with seeker-sensitive church models. Meaning we've done this thing. It started in the 90s. I can say what it was. It's a church called Willow Creek. And they created this model of seeker-sensitive Christianity where church became more like a concert rather than a time of worship and adoration to the Lord. And so we started to bring in things like smoke machines and flashing lights, and nothing wrong with that, but kind of. I'm actually just going to say, in my opinion, a little bit kind of, because we've conditioned you to an experience. And that God comes when there's this certain atmosphere and this smoke machine and this song has to be played and this person needs to come up with this transition like, oh yeah, and pump you up to have an encounter with God. But that's not normal life, is it? You don't have a smoke machine in your kitchen. You don't have flashing lights in your kitchen. Fallon, do you have a smoke machine? She's like, maybe in my kitchen. Sure, I sure do. But then we've been conditioned. I've got to set this atmosphere. I have to do all of these things to encounter God. But that is not what the church fathers did. That's never been how it's been in Christianity. You want to experience something that feels dry? Go to an Anglican church in the UK. But I can tell you this, it's not dry because they've learned how to encounter God in the mundane when there is no atmosphere. And I love the concert feel. I love feeling a little bit hype sometimes and a little bit of flashing lights. But Coldplay does it better than us. The Weeknd does it better than us. The church is not as good as throwing on a concert than the world. We have to learn how to dig our own well. We have to learn how to dig our own well in the secret place. so that when we come in here, and I've talked about this before, when we come in here, we're not just trying to drink from the pastor's well. You've already been drinking when no one else was watching because you found Jesus on your own. And we've lived off in the church in the West secondhand revelation and atmospheric worship. And we wonder why we go home, why we feel dry. It's because we've conditioned ourselves to an experience rather than a quiet inward encounter with the Lord in stillness. And then even in church, I can feel it. Even in church, in moments where it's still or quiet, we feel uncomfortable because we want this experience. Because, are you guys following me? We're so sense-driven. We want something that it stimulates our senses and our minds. And we're like, give me, and again, I would love, we're like, we want the LED wall, we want the lights, we want all these different things. You don't need any of that to encounter Jesus. You don't need it. You don't need it. I think it's going to be so funny when we go to heaven and we're like, where's the LED wall at? Smoke machine Jesus? Where? I don't know. It's like smoke actually coming from his being, you know? Anyways, I think we're going to be shocked when we go there, how much different it is than what we've tried to create here. Amen. And realizing that we don't need a lot of the things that we've tried to bring in to church. We don't need to be stimulated. We don't need high emotional experiences. We just need Jesus. We just need Jesus. Here's a key quote from Brother Lawrence, and then I'm going to invite our prayer team up. He says this, in the time of busyness, the time of busyness does not, with me, differ from the time of prayer. And in the noise and clatter of my kitchen, while several persons at the same time are calling for different things. Moms, you know what I'm talking about with that. When we were in Tennessee, we had 6 kids running around in the house. And I was going crazy, okay? I was losing my mind. And these kids... So he says, in the noise of this, while several persons at the same time are calling for different things, Brother Lawrence says this, I possess God, listen to this, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were upon my knees. He says, in the kitchen, in the busyness of the kitchen, I possess God in as great peace as if I were on my knees. So powerful. So I want you guys just to stand to your feet with me. I want to be like Milo. I want to be like that kid. Get in there, hold the door. I'd rather be a gatekeeper. I'd rather be a door holder in the presence of God than dwell in the mansions of the world. To experience, I'm telling you, every person in this room, I know I'm speaking to some people that already understand this, but there is truly, 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 truly nothing in this world that compares to the presence of God. There is nothing in this world that compares to being satisfied with His presence. And I hope this alleviates some things, some pressure from you this morning, that you don't need to set the right atmosphere to encounter God. All you have to do is turn your affection and attention to Him, and you can experience Him. Amen? Amen. So if I can have our prayer team come forward, and I want to just pray for all of you today. Thank you, Jesus. I want you guys all just to close your eyes. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you actually, before I pray for you, I want you to ask the Lord, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit this question. Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me through this message? What are you speaking to my heart through this message? What are you calling me to? What are you asking me to do? And I want you just to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit right now. He's speaking. He is still speaking all over this room. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just speak to every single person here. Thank you for your voice. Thank you for your voice. Thank you for your voice. Just take a minute. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us? What are you speaking today? He's awakening the longing in our hearts. And when you feel like you hear or sense an impression from the Holy Spirit, I want you just to lift up your hand, just one hand. Once you start to feel, man, he is speaking to me about this area. He's speaking to me. Man, hands all over. So awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would continue to speak, that you would unravel the mystery of being with you, and that we can do it anywhere and everywhere. Your presence is with us. It's among us. It's all around us. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hey, before I invite you forward, my wife had a dream last night. And she had a dream that basically she had this impression. I believe that God wants to heal someone in this room before I call you forward for prayer. She had this impression in this dream that there's someone potentially here that you were diagnosed with diabetes at a young age, and there was something or a word that was spoken, something that was spoken over you at a young age, and I don't know if it was someone diagnosed it or gave you this word or whatever it was, but I feel like the Lord wants to heal someone today of diabetes. How many people believe that Jesus can do that? Amen? And so if you're here, and that makes sense to you, she was like, it was someone in their youth in my dream. If that makes sense to you, I want you just to raise your hand if that's you. If you are here and you got diagnosed with diabetes at a young age, or maybe you just have diabetes now. Nobody here? Yeah, Rhonda? A couple. Okay, thanks for raising your hand, guys. Anybody else? So good. Was it when you were young? Was it a young age that you were diagnosed recently? Your 20s? What about for you, sir? Was it when you were younger? No? Okay. Well, we want to pray for you both, if that's okay. Can we just extend our hands? What's your name, sir? What is it? Ernie. Can we extend our hands to Ernie and Rhonda? And if we could just have a couple of people come over to them. Come on. I believe that Jesus doesn't give us dreams and visions for nothing. And so we're just going to pray right now and believe. How many people believe that our God is a healer? Amen. There's nothing too hard for him. And so, Lord, we just pray right now for Rhonda and for Ernie. And, Lord, we just speak right now over their bodies, healing in Jesus' name. Come on, church. I want you just to pray with me. Just begin to pray for healing right now. We just declare healing in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we thank you that healing is not hard for you. Healing is easy in your presence. And so we just declare, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed. We declare to your blood. We declare to your blood. Be restored in the name of Jesus. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. Be healed, Rhonda. Be healed in Jesus' mighty name. This will no longer have a hold on you. This no longer will have a word over your life. Be restored. And I just release the fire of his presence all over you, the power of his presence all over you, Lord, to burn out sickness, to burn out diabetes in the name of Jesus. And we just declare that the name of Jesus is above diabetes in Jesus' name. And so we just declare your name is life. Your name is healing over their bodies in Jesus' mighty name. I feel this too. I feel like the Lord wants to, is it okay if we do this? And let me say this too. If you need to go get your kids, it's 12:06. You can go get your kids and just want to alleviate kids workers, kids, all that stuff. So if you need to go get them, you're free to do that. But I feel like the Lord also is repairing cartilage in knees today. And I feel like if there's something like your knees are kind of crinkety, the Lord wants to make them strong. He wants to strengthen feeble knees. And so raise your hand if that's you. You've got some issues in your knees. The Lord wants to do that. He wants to do that for you, Jeremiah. There's a lot of people with their hands raised. And so I want you guys to do this right now. Keep your hand raised if that's you. I want you to go and find someone with their hand raised. And we're going to pray quickly. And we're going to believe God for miracles all over this room right now. We're going to believe Him for miracles all over this room. Come on, it's His word. He strengthens tired, weary, feeble knees. And so wait before you pray, I know you guys already know how to do this. But I don't want you to ask God to heal. I want you to command healing. He told us to heal the sick, not pray for the sick. He told us to heal the sick. And so, I just want you to begin to pray. 30-second prayer. Just begin to pray for strength, healing, for cartilage to be restored. We just declare, Lord, for brand new knees in this room. We thank you, Jesus, that you're already here. You're in this room. And healing is easy for you. And so, Lord, we pray for creative miracles. We ask you for creative miracles, for cartilage to be restored, for tendons to be restored all over this room. Come on, pray 10 more seconds with authority. Come on, the Lord's healing you, Derek. He's healing you in Jesus' name. Your knees are being healed. Your knees are being healed. Jesus, lay your hands on every person here who needs healing. Oh, thank you, Lord. Woo, that was a crazy pop. Thank you, Jesus. All right, here's what I want you to do. Begin to wrap up that prayer. And if you just received prayer for your knees, I want you to begin to test out your knees. I want you to do something that you've never done before. I want you just to begin to move it, bend, do something that you haven't done before, test it out. Don't hurt yourself, but I want you just to begin to test it out right now. Just to begin move your knees. And if you feel any change or shift or difference in your body, I want you just to wave at me. Even if it's 50% better, I want you to wave your hand. So good. So good. Woo-hoo. That's awesome. I see your hand. Come on. So keep your hand raised if you've experienced some change in your body. Keep your hand raised. That's amazing. And I want you to wave at me with both hands if it's 100% healed. If it's 100% healed. Whoa, come on, that's awesome. So good. So good. So good. Yeah, come on, Julie. 100% healed? 100%? You think so? Come here. Come here, Julie. Can I have a microphone? Can someone give me... So good. Come here, Julie. Look at you. You're awesome. I love you so much. Okay, tell us what you're feeling and how long have you had the pain?
Oh, I have arthritis in my knee. I don't feel anything right now. I mean, I can kneel without it.
Come on.
So I'm good.
Come on. And you've had...
And I can take my dogs for walks without pain now. I know I will.
You've had arthritis in your knees?
4 years.
For 4 years?
Four years.
Or 4 years.
F-O-R.
Yes, a long time.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's all gone.
It feels like it's all gone. It comes and goes. So that's why, like,
yes.
Okay, yeah.
Well, extend your hands towards Julie. Lord, we just pray for the fullness of this miracle. We just declare to these knees... Arthritis, you have no place in these knees, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that Julie is a missionary and has been a missionary. And your word says, how beautiful are the feet that bring good news. And there is a blessing on the missionary. And so, Lord, we declare to these knees that have walked all over Africa, be healed in Jesus' name. We declare the blessing of the Lord over your knees. No more pain ever again in Jesus' name. If you believe that, shout amen. All right. If you got prayer after hearing that testimony again, I know this might feel chaotic, but this is how we're going to end today. I want you just to test out your knee again. Test it out after that testimony. Just move your leg. Come on, he's no respecter of persons. Just begin to move your knees again. And if you feel... 50 to 100%. I want you just to wave your hand at me. Wave your hand again. Come on. Come on, Derek. So good. So good. Wave at me. If that's you, you feel a shift. So good. So good. Now let me ask this again. If you feel 100% change one more time, I want you to put up both hands and wave. 100% better. One, two, that's so powerful. Anybody else? Anybody else? So, so good. Amen. Come on, can we just give thanksgiving? Can we just give thanks to the Lord for those miracles here today? So powerful. And I just want to declare a blessing over all of you as you leave and invite you forward for prayer. But Lord, I just thank you, Jesus, for your presence again. Lord, we thank you. Lord, whether we're scrubbing floors or in this church, you are with us, and there's always an opportunity to encounter you. And I pray, Lord, for every person in this place who received prayer for healing, and I declare, be 100% healed in Jesus' name for the good of your life and for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Amen.